Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Gosh, the world is so happy at the moment.
Fantastic. It's good to be back. Welcome to Suggestible, everybody.
Welcome, everybody.
Boy,
what
is
happening? Goodness me. I'm Claire. I'm married to a bloke called James who's legitimately losing his mind now.
Get out of here, Claire. We're all having a good time in this house.
And this podcast is called Suggestible, where we recommend you stuff to watch, read, and listen to, which has never been more relevant, seeing as a lot of us are now living from our houses at home. I mean, we were always bloody bunkering down in this house.
You're not wrong, Claire. You're not bloody wrong.
So, haha, but also.
You're right.
I thought we would start the show, James. I've surprised you.
I love starting the show.
What are your tips for people who are new to this whole abode working situation?
Well, I was reading a thing online that like people are like, what are you going to do? You got to get up every morning and you got to have a set schedule and you got to make sure you get dressed and you put your, fuck all that. Do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. You don't need a schedule of like, now this is when I put my get out of my pajamas and I fold them or whatever. If you're that kind of person, absolutely do it. I am not that person. I just kind of roll into whatever's happening
in
the
day.
Yeah,
you leave your clothes in a pool beside your bed.
Oh, let's not throw
and
stones
then you pull on your old
if we live in a house that you can see
at like
through.
Like 9:15.
I get
and then
dressed
like
so to drop
to the gym.
Well, yeah, to drop our son and then go to the gym. That's on the day that he goes.
Yeah, 9:30, and then you have a long shower.
I do.
And then terrific. You kind of get to work, and then you have a nap in the afternoon.
Yeah,
you
I try to squeeze a nap
like
because normally I haven't slept very well. It's a vicious cycle.
All right, so basically, when I asked you the question for someone who's been working at home for like 8 years. You have no advice.
No,
that's your advice.
My advice is do what works for you. Try different things. Try a schedule. Get rid of the schedule. For me, I put everything for work in my head, so I know exactly what I need to do right at all times. I don't really communicate
you
that.
You just put it in your head.
I put it in my head. I roll it up in a tiny bit of paper and I squish it in my ear. Like I communicate with the people who need to know that, like my editors that I work with, and then everything else is just kind of
– just chuffs along.
Just in my brain.
Yeah.
I message Mason. I'm like, what are we talking about this week? And we discuss that.
And then I'll be watching telly and he just shows up out of the blue.
He shows up, he rolls in.
Rolls in, does his thing.
We're recording some things. Well, when this goes out today, we've got some special caravan of garbages that people have requested.
Sometimes Meso comes over at like 11 p.m. at night and I'm in my pajamas. I think Meso sees me more in my pajamas than in any other kind of clothes.
It's true.
And it's real bad.
It's not an accident either. We plan it like that. We're like, what's the worst time we can drop in on Claire? Oh my
God. I'm always like on my way to bed or falling asleep on the couch or something. Poor Meso.
What's your suggestion though for being locked up at home?
Goodness.
As someone who actually is.
Hates it.
Yeah, hates it.
Yeah, because you're introverted, so you this
no,
is like
I still
an introvert's
don't, I still
dream.
Don't, I wouldn't even say I am introverted because I do like speaking to people and doing things. It just depends who it is and what it is.
Okay.
Like if it's a good
thing,
I'm all over it.
Guys, he's full of himself.
Get out of here,
Claire. If he cannot go to something, he will not go.
Because most things are not worth going to.
Even if you like the people.
No, most things are not worth going to. I've talked
about
this before.
Right, sure.
Most things are a complete waste of time.
This is the thing. You're an introvert. Just bloody admit it. Me, on the other hand, I'm like a plant that doesn't get any water, and water being people to talk to, which is why I follow you around and say things. So I have not mastered yet completely the art of working from home, but I will say some of the things that have helped me when I can get into doing them. One is... get dressed in the morning properly. Don't stay in your activewear all day because I sometimes do that.
Oh, you got to get changed after the gym.
Or out of your jammies and stuff. Poo-pooing that.
No,
I
do get changed, but I don't like get dressed up. I'll be like, what are some clothes? And
yeah,
if it's
I know,
like
you
clothes
look scrumpled-y.
From yesterday, whatever.
What I'm talking about is actually putting on some makeup, doing your hair. I always have more productive days when I actually do my hair, put my makeup on, and wear something presentable. Because it does for me anyway, clicks my brain into gear. I also go and talk to people up the street, like the person that makes the coffee and the person at the grocery shop. And
they're not
like,
really your friends, Claire. Don't kid yourself.
But I have to talk to somebody because you don't want to talk to me. And in lieu of not being able to do that at the moment, the thing I have found the most helpful is to take regular calling people breaks.
Oh my God, you call so many people. You're on the phone all day.
I do. No. But I really do think genuinely there was a period over this week where I decided that self-isolation, because I'm also like 8 months pregnant, is absolutely what I should be doing, and therefore didn't see anyone. But I also weirdly then thought that meant that I couldn't talk to anybody. And I just didn't call any of my friends. I fell into this weird vortex where all I was doing was like listening and watching to coronavirus stuff.
As
online.
I kept coming and I'm like, why are you watching this? And it's because just like everything's bad. You know how they thought the statistics were bad? Well, guess what? They're much fucking worse than what you thought.
Guys, and to be fair, this is not going to be a show where we talk about statistics. We're not medical professionals or anything. I do have a couple of recommendations for places to go. If you want that kind of information, that is not this show. And we are joking, but also we're not joking because, you know, but we all need a bit of light relief because obviously it's a very serious situation.
It's like unfolding. A bladder that's slowly filling up and you're looking around and you can't find a toilet. Anyway, so you piss your pants and you're also in a test. You're in a school test. It's a dream. Or is it real? I don't know what I'm talking
that's
about.
That's the best description of coronavirus I've ever had. Okay, one more bit before we get on to recommending
God,
stuff.
Claire.
So the thing, yeah, my calling people breaks. I have found the minute that I call friends or FaceTime people or family and I have a chance to chat, goodness, I feel so much better. And I know that's so obvious, but I think sometimes when we're upset and we're worried, the last thing you feel like doing is ringing someone. But actually, every person I've rung has been doing the exact same thing as me, like watching way too much and reading too much about coronavirus.
Sure, yeah.
And just panicking. And so anyway, I rung like my very good friend Chanel and other people in my life that are awesome. And it just made me feel better. And suddenly I remember that there are people in the world. So that would be my recommendation. Get dressed, do your makeup, clean your teeth and ring people on a regular basis.
Clean your teeth. Basic hygiene is important.
Yeah, so that would be it. Otherwise, it's bloody hard. So if you're finding it hard, it's because it is hard working from home. The biggest thing is there's so much to watch and read and listen to instead of doing your work.
You know what is annoying about working from home when you always work from home?
Is your beautiful wife.
Oh, you're not right.
It likes to annoy you.
With that. No, but it's for me, it's like I
don't know why.
You just annoyed everybody listening.
No,
it doesn't bother me.
I had 2 chocolate covered teddy bear biscuits.
Delicious. But
with cold milk in a glass.
Yeah, I was like, what is this? 1998, I said to her. I rolled in. I had a bit of a bloody riff. You would have loved it if you were there, everyone. What was I saying? I can't even remember.
I don't know. Anyway, guys, we're slowly losing our minds. We hope that you're okay. We're really thinking about you. And so on that note, we've got some fun things for you to read and listen to. And my phone isn't on silent either.
Sorry, what I was saying. So you just have to kind of keep working. You just keep going. Like I haven't really stopped. Our son's around more. And I just keep kind of pushing through and like this. I thought people were relaxing at home watching Netflix. Not this guy, even though my job, a lot of it is watching Netflix.
Your
anyway.
Job is literally watching Netflix.
Yeah, well.
But you literally said to me, like, gosh, everyone else is relaxing. Everyone's
just relaxing. These nurses, mate, in their hospitals taking days off. And
side note, you should have seen James Clement yelling at the television about the head of our Telstra internet network and how terrible the upload and download speeds are in Australia. And then what's going to happen now that everyone's working from home?
Yeah, because they were like, the thing is about it, most people, they use the internet for downloads, but now people who work from home, it turns out that uploading is important. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I've been working home for 5 years. I yell about this like every fucking day. And then they're like, you know, we should work on uploading. Should you? It's a vital component of any business or anything ever. It's the sharing of information. What?
Okay, that was my present to you.
Anyway, you set me up. You set me up. Terrific. Okay, so the first.
Yeah. And I know you've got one thing to recommend. I just want to say one thing very quickly because you touched on nurses and health professionals and everybody. I just want to say that all those people who are finding this extra tough, people who can't work from home, people who have to go into work, people who are health professionals or the elderly or live by themselves or have a disability or are just in more vulnerable categories or who have people in their lives who are in vulnerable categories who are sick or immunocompromised, all those things. I didn't say that word
elderly,
right. Yeah. We're just sending lots of love to you.
Yes. And all right. Look out for people. Check in
and
on
And James
people.
Ranting, I hope, will cheer you up. Okay.
Or stress you out.
Who knows?
Way.
All right.
This first thing
you,
I thought
sir.
We could talk about together because we watched it together. It's called
Ooh,
Upright.
Yes, it's so good.
It's written by Chris Taylor, who people in Australia would know from The Chaser. Anybody internationally might know The Chaser. They're the ones that got kicked out of the Vatican for flying a blimp over like 15 years ago.
I love it. Those
people
guys,
might
remember they're so
that.
Cheeky.
They don't do that anymore, but that kind of stuff. But they do work on things. So Chris Taylor's one of them, and it's this show starring Tim Minchin and Millie Alcock. And well, how would you describe it? As a road trip?
Well, Tim Minchin helped to write and produce this show, who was one of our favourite comedians, singer-songwriters, who we were supposed to go see next weekend, but no longer because of things. But also award-winning writer-actors Kate Mulvaney and Leon Ford were also part of the writing team. I guess the way I would describe it is a funny drama. It's more in the drama.
Did you say dramedy?
That's my new favourite word. Have you noticed I say that a lot?
A funny.
A dramedy.
Well, why didn't you say it then when you could? That would have been a perfect
because
time
I knew
to use
you were going
to
make fun of me because no, I said didn't. It the other day.
No, it's an official word for it. It's
well,
a dramedy.
Oh, shut up. Anyway, so it follows the story of two misfits. So Tim Minchin plays Lucky, who's kind of like a down in his luck musician. You find out later why he's so miserable. But he's kind of on a road trip from Majuro to Perth. And there's a car accident in the beginning. And Meg, who is like a teenage girl, she's brilliant and quite funny. She runs into him, they have a car accident, and they both have to try and get across really the Australian desert, the Pilbara.
For anybody who doesn't
which
know, Majuro to Perth is, it's like the length of the US. Like it's, and guess what's in the middle of Australia? Fucking nothing. There's nothing in there.
Beautiful. No, it's the outback. It's the Australian outback. That's what's so great about this show. It really gives you a sense of the beauty and scope. And also, there is a lot of just like long, winding road. Well, like straight roads.
It's a straight
road.
Straight
roads, yeah. But it does really give you a sense of the Australian desert because that's basically what's
in. And you meet some colourful characters along the way.
A lot of colourful Aussie characters. And the one thing I feel like that adds interest to this too is that they're – part of it is that Lucky's character, so Tim Minchin's character, is really trying to transport this old upright kind of beaten up piano across the desert. And it only becomes apparent right at the very end why he's trying to transfer this piano.
Yeah.
And the story kind of develops as to why he has this love affair with the piano. Tim Minchin said something really interesting. Initially he got this script and sort of didn't have any input into it. It came across his desk after he moved back from LA and was looking for something to do. And he was really kind of depressed, I guess, because we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
His animation got canned in the US. So he came back home. And so he was exploring themes about returning to your family. And that's basically what becomes apparent through the story, that he's returning to his family.
Yes.
Who he hasn't seen for a very long time. But he developed the storyline of that kind of romantic love affair with the piano.
Yes.
That kind of becomes to represent his character.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and he's not spiritual, isn't he? He's very Tim Minchin-esque in that he's, you know, quite kind of like life is shit happens and then you die, that kind of bloke.
Yeah.
Very dry sense of humour. But there is this beautiful story. And then it packs a big emotional punch at the end.
It definitely – I wouldn't say it doesn't start bad, but it definitely gets better.
It
and by the
two
end, I'm like, I like this, like, because I like everyone in it and it's good and interesting and it's well shot. But by the end, I really loved it. I thought it was really terrific because it's kind of, because obviously as good stories do, it unfolds along the way and you find out about, you know, you find out more about each character and it's about music and family and aging and love. And it's just really great. And I really like the integration of music in it, just having this piano that they have to take the whole time kind of. It's almost like a character in itself that factors in and it gets played and they lose it and they get it back and it gets taken or whatever. So it just kind of, you know, those kind of stuff happens along the way.
Yeah, and because Tim Minchin's piano skills are just unreal.
Which is weird because he doesn't read music either. He can't read music, but he can play. Yeah,
he's just one of those amazing people. He's just spent hours and hours on that piano. You can tell tinkering away, and it's just spectacular to watch him play.
Some really good music in it, well, especially if you love Australian rock between the years 1998 and 2004,
which is James's entire musical collection because he stopped listening to music after
then. I was a bit after that, but that's pretty accurate. And there's one particular song that he does. It's Missy Higgins sings it at the very end, but he sings it during the during the show, which is really great, really, and kind of different than the kind of he does fun kind of silly songs. And it's more Well, he just goes, I watch some interviews about it, but he talks about how it's more of a song. It's like, kid was like, this is like a real song. And he's like, yeah, I guess it is. So yeah, it's great.
Because he often does quite like, he basically does satire into music in lots of ways.
Exactly. But he also does like White Wine in the Sun, which is a great song about Christmas. My favorite Christmas song.
Yeah, and he just released a new one, Leaving LA.
Yes.
He's got an album out. Enjoyed.
I think it's this year or next year. He's got an album, which he's never had before.
Yeah. And that actually, you showed me that. His Leaving LA has an amazing video done by T. Ken Ng, N-G, I think that's how you say it. What are those cars?
It's sort of, I guess, there is a name for it, but it's kind of like stop motion. And what it is, you take a whole lot of pictures and you put them on a turntable, and it's like animation. You spin it and the characters on it kind of walk and move along. Stereographic, I don't know, it's not that. It's something.
Yeah, I was looking it up, but I can't find it.
Can't find the words to Google it. But, yeah, that's good. And, get hold of it if you can.
Correct, on the old YouTubes. Yeah, yes. So I reckon, really recommend
Sky,
that.
Sky, as
upright.
We did through.
Yeah,
VPNs.
So it's on.
Well, it's on Foxtel Australia. Don't do that. But if you use a VPN, you can watch it in Sky in England. And,
amazing. Totally recommend. Great watching while you're at home.
Yeah, pay for it if you can because it's good.
It's really great. Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay! Your turn or my turn?
Turn? Well, that was kind of both of ours, but yeah, so it's your turn. I started.
All right. Okay. So I have been trying to listen to more music.
Music. I love it.
Because I
just
find.
Just keep it a positive.
Stop. No, because I find that when I am like this and all I want to deep dive into is a million coronavirus podcasts.
Sure.
Well, sometimes you just need a break from all of it. Music is wonderful. And I've just discovered a new musician. Obviously, she's been making music since forever, but her name's Joy Crooks. I found her through one of my favorite podcasts.
That's not true. Claire actually found her because she pulled up a loose board in our living room. And she was just under the house. She was just living there.
She's been there for like 20 years.
Yeah.
So she's a British neo-soul singer-songwriter of Bangladeshi and Irish heritage, which is cool. She grew up in London. And you can tell her music sort of, it's just so great, but it has a really distinctive London sound, which I think if you listen to, particularly South London, maybe people from South London who listen will be like, that's not true. But to me, it just reminded me of when I used to live in London.
Tell me about
and
it.
And often her songs, they're kind of, they're great as a background music too, but they're really kind of funky. They're about relationships and self-reliance, about her culture and her identity. She's released 3 extended plays since 2017 and was nominated for the Rising Star Award at the 2020 Brit Awards. She's actually also just incredible to look at because of her mixed background. She's just stunning, and her music videos, I really think that she's going to be a breakthrough act and one to watch.
Terrific.
Start with Mother May I Sleep with Danger, which is a really cool song. It starts off and you think it's going to be quite depressing or sad, but it becomes quite upbeat and it's just, it's great. Don't Let Me Down is awesome and has a really cool sound video clip. Early is also really great as well. So I'd really recommend going over to Joy Crooks and just subscribing in Spotify. Love her, and I think she's going to do really spectacular things.
Or she could fade away.
Or she could. Who knows? Well, she won't because I've mentioned her on our podcast. Okay,
that's
your turn.
That's true. You boosted her up.
I just
reminded me of something. Somebody sent me this today about people fading away. I just want to quickly find it. I don't even know if this is real.
Do you want me to keep talking?
No,
I found it.
So you know Ja Rule, the rapper.
Correct.
He goes on Twitter. If you all need me, I'll be in Alaska. And somebody replied, nobody has needed you since 2005, bro.
That's so mean. A little bit accurate, but mean.
He was behind a lot of that Fire Festival shit or whatever, isn't he?
God, yeah. Fire Festival. Gosh, if you haven't watched that doco, that's worth watching.
Yeah.
It feels a little like the world is being run by someone who is organizing Fire Festival. That's how it feels.
It does feel a bit like that, doesn't it? Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Don't worry. Everyone's taking it seriously now. Now it's time for that segment of the show that I like to call No Judgment. It's time for No Judgment. You judging?
No, no judging.
Don't
you
judge.
You know, I'm always judging you. It's my favorite pastime.
No, this is the no judgment segment of the show. If you start judging, you have to leave the room.
Are you gonna tell me you've been watching First Dates?
First Dates?
UK?
No, I haven't watched First Dates UK. I haven't.
Because last week, what did you recommend?
I recommended
Kiss Marriage.
Love is Blind.
Love is Blind, that's right.
Anyway, so I just want to, and I, you know, I mentioned last week that I watched it till we got to the show and then I was like, I'm done with this shit.
Right.
Well, it turns out I finished it. I watched every episode. I thought I was better than I was. I thought I was better than people that liked the show, even the people that watched it ironically. I thought I was better than them, but it turns out I'm not.
Did you get dragged in?
Well, that's the thing. I think it was.
You must have got like.
I was kind of in it, and it was edit, and I was editing, and I was just. It just kind of just happened. Sounds like somebody explaining like an affair. I don't know what happened. Yeah, like we just. Yeah. Oh, we were spending time together, and it just.
I mean, no, and then it just happened. One thing led to another. My power was to stop it. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so
that's like me eating a whole packet of chocolate covered teddy bear biscuits.
That is. Way more justified than this. So anyway, it didn't get better. I should point that out. But what it does do, it culminates in a wedding where the couples who, if they stay together till the end, which most of them did except for one, they meet at the altar. Then they say their vows.
Again?
Yeah. No, because they haven't got married. Oh, it leads
it's
up
not
to
married
it.
At first sight.
No, no,
all
no,
right.
No,
okay,
no.
Okay, okay.
So they get engaged in the pods when they don't know each other and then if they stay together. And then one of them usually says, like, yes. And then the second person would normally say, well, not normally, but a lot of them would say no.
Are you explaining the plot of reality to me?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But what I want to specify
no,
is that. No, it's so cruel because I'm watching it and I'm just like, this dude's about to fall on his fucking face and he doesn't even know it. Like you can see it. You can see it coming. Every couple that I was like, yeah, this isn't going to go well. Those are the ones that didn't. And a lot of them, well, most of them who I think, no, all of them who were like, I didn't feel it. I was like, yeah, well then you shouldn't have. That's good. You did the right thing. Why would you do it?
Yeah.
So there's like a reunion show and whatever. And there's actually one couple that I'm like,
you
those guys.
Watch the reunion show?
Well, it's part of the series. Episode 10 or whatever.
They really
it was.
Got you good, mate.
They did. It's hosted by Nick Lachey and whoever Nick Lachey's wife is at the moment.
This is feeling very reminiscent, I can't say that, of when we were living up north and we both got addicted to Big Brother.
We both got addicted to Big Brother 2012. I saw the winner of Big Brother from 2012 like maybe a year ago at a premiere and I didn't go up to him, but I just want to go up and go, hey, I know it's been like 7 years, but that's the only season that I've watched. And congratulations, because he is gay. And yeah. So I'd be like, oh, that was so cool that you won, and I hope you're doing really well.
We were so happy.
But instead, I didn't say anything. I just went, that's that fucking guy.
Because we're not big reality TV people, but we were so like, it was so remote.
I didn't think he was going to win.
There was no pubs. We couldn't drink.
No
so we
pubs.
Just sit around having dinner being like, oh, what did such and such do today?
Yeah.
Who's do you reckon?
And I'd order four ginger beers for the week, and I'd have to ration them over the 7 days.
Then we'd have deep fried chicken strips from the local store that were terrible,
so
but we were
terrible.
Like, this is delicious. Anyway, do you remember that time that an entire ball of chicken, like I used to, we'd
oh
have
God.
To order.
I remember every second of being up there.
Yeah, we had to order our food on a plane because you know, obviously, everyone's panic buying in the supermarkets. Well, we had to like kind of eat 2 weeks at a time.
Yes.
Because the plane would fly in with your Coles like or supermarket.
Or you could go
order.
Local, but it was really expensive and they
super
didn't have
expensive.
Most stuff yeah. anyway. Yeah.
Anyway, and sometimes they would just get your order completely wrong. And one time I ordered like chicken breast fillets and I ordered like five and an entire ball arrived. Do you remember?
I think you said
like
I think you said a kilo or might have been like 500 grams or whatever and they added a zero on it and it was like a boulder of frozen
yeah,
chicken.
Yeah, it was like
and
two
it's like,
basketball
what are we supposed to do with
were,
this?
Yeah, I
like
just
we got,
put it in our
was,
deep freeze.
Yeah, but we couldn't use it because what are we going to chip away at it? Ridiculous.
So we'd all that
I bet
time,
that chicken's still in there.
Yeah, I bet it is in that deep freezer. It's probably not interesting to anyone else. Anyway, all I'm saying is we survived for a year in a remote community.
Yeah.
Guys, we can all do it. We can.
Avoiding all sorts of weird diseases that
Though,
are up there.
Though, to be fair, I'm very concerned about you now watching
there
reality
was ringworm. I got that bit of glass stuck in my foot.
My friend got a boil under her arm.
Oh, it was crazy.
True.
Yeah.
Head lice.
We avoided that, actually, didn't we?
Boy.
We didn't get head lice.
Correct.
Yeah. Anyway, so, look, it's bad. Don't watch it. Don't get sucked in. Don't be like me. You're better than me. And if you haven't watched it, you should remain that way.
All right.
Yeah.
I tried to watch First Dates Australia, which is basically where people just get filmed on a first date.
They get filmed in a restaurant. And
I lasted 5 minutes.
Yeah, because one of them is normally a psychopath.
Oh, it was so terribly awkward and awful. Anyway.
Do they decide who pays in those situations? Is it one of those?
Yeah, they do. And it's an
What do you think the rule should be? What's dating etiquette, would you say?
Oh, this is so interesting. One of my friends said something controversial. She said, no, you should do 50-50. Unless you really like the guy and he offers to pay, you should let him pay.
Okay.
And in my head I was like, I don't know about that. I don't know.
I mean, obviously it greatly depends on the situation.
Yeah.
For me, if it was me, and as I used to do it when I used to date 100 years ago, I would always offer to pay, like regardless. Yeah. That was like the blanket rule.
But don't you think that there should be a back and forth?
Yeah,
and
if there isn't there should a back be, and forth, if it's there weird. Was like, huh, and that was it? Like, I'm not expecting like, oh my God, thank you. You're so wonderful and rich. Like, I don't need that, obviously. But just like, hey, yeah, cool. I'll get the next one or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't think I ever had a situation where the person was like, yeah, fine. Like, you know.
Yeah, I know. Because I always think that's weird if like someone offers to pay and you go, no. Yeah, at least have to get your wallet out and do the whole, oh, no, let me get it. And they'll go, no, you get the next one.
I'd pay, like, even if it went badly or whatever, or even if they didn't like me. Yeah. I don't care, whatever.
I always used to try, not that I dated that many people, but I would always used to try and do 50-50.
Yeah, right.
But, like, if he insisted, then I would be like, oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, because I think it's also people also like to be able to be like, This is a gift for you. But also I know that people who pay often then expect something in return.
Yes, that blew my mind. Which is a weird kind of... You said that to me, like that one of the things you want to teach our son is that men don't women don't owe you anything. No. And I was blown away by that. I had no idea that guys thought that if they bought you a drink.
But speaking to some of your single friends, you said that there is that kind of
like my friend recently who like had a bloke buy her a Tiffany's necklace and then expected a bit of a hooby. I don't know what that is.
What is that? What are we doing? Terrific.
You know, a bit of sex, basically.
Just a bit of sex. Well put.
But in exchange of the necklace. And when she refused to kiss him, he was like, but I bought you a necklace.
What you're describing, guy, if you're listening, which you're fucking not, is prostitution.
That's terrible. Yeah. Anyway, my poor friend. Ooh, dating can be brutal. Anywho, okay, so no judgment segment was, I'm sorry, full of judgment from
what?
Me. But I tried really hard to have no
Thank
judgment.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
All right, can I recommend something
That's
now?
That's what the show is.
Okay, so friends, if you are after something that isn't going to depress you to no end,
yes,
there is a podcast called The Daily. You know The Daily podcast, do you know
Probably.
That one?
Probably, which one is it?
It's really amazing. It's an American podcast where they just basically do a wrap-up of the whole like the news cycle, basically, every day.
Okay.
And it's awesome. I've always loved it. It's great journalism.
Would you kiss it? Would you let it pay for you on the first date?
Yeah, I probably would actually.
What if it then expected something in return? What would you?
I would say, sure, Daily, come on right in. It is actually Chef's Kiss, a very good podcast. And anyway, they have a special episode called A Bit of Relief, and it's just like a little bit of fresh air in the news cycle. And they kind of have a few different little mini stories that just give you a bit of, you know, I don't know, a buck up. And then it finishes with an amazing quote from C.S. Lewis, who
wrote. If you don't mind, can I take this one?
Sure.
The Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe is about Christianity or whatever. Aslan is Jesus.
No,
the witch is, I think, witch is the devil. Is this the quote? Am I getting it right?
No,
Sorry. Do you want to finish the quote for me?
Yes, I do. The Daily is produced by the New York Times and it's hosted by Marco Barbaro.
Wait, so this is the quote from C.S. Lewis?
No, I'm just letting you know more about the Daily podcast.
Okay.
Dear, for the love of God, can you just let me get out what I want to say?
How's it frustrating when someone interrupts you?
Stuck with this nincompoop forever, apparently, in this house.
Apparently.
So, anyway, it's a quote from C.S. Lewis, and it's just, I think it's really insightful. Kind of talks about living in an atomic age and sort of living through, you know, the plague and all kinds of things that have happened to humanity over human history. For some reason, it just made me feel better. So
okay,
I think you should listen to it. Collings, can you play a little bit?
Oh, you're not going to say it?
Oh, you want me to play it?
I thought you were going to say it, like, because I don't know it.
No.
Well, that what
I want people to go to the podcast.
What am I supposed
episodes
to do then?
Would you like to hear it?
Nah, it's fine. I'll listen back to this and I'll hear it, and then I'll be like, oh my god, let me edit it. We can edit a bit in where I'm like, where I love it.
In one way, we think a great deal too much of the atomic bomb. How are we to live in an atomic age? I'm tempted to reply. Why, as you would have lived in the 16th century when the plague visited London almost every year. In other words, do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. This is the first point to be made, and the first action to be taken is to pull ourselves together. If we are all going to be destroyed by an atomic bomb, let that bomb, when it comes, find us doing sensible and human things. They may break our bodies. A microbe can do that. But they need not dominate our minds.
Doesn't even make any sense, Claire. I don't even understand the quote. Leave it in. Dear God.
Anyway, I just recommend that podcast episode, A Bit of Relief from the Daily.
Okay.
And just the Daily, it's quite good. And the other podcast that this isn't a distraction, but I think it's really excellent, it's called Corona Cast with health reporter Tegan Taylor and physician Dr. Norman Swan. And if you want some level-headed, grounded in research advice and with all of the latest updates about what's happening with the coronavirus, I would go there. It's produced by our Australian Broadcasting Corporation. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's great. It's not very long. They do daily episodes, sometimes more than one a day. And I've just found any questions that I need answered, I go to there rather than endlessly scrolling through Twitter and then finding a whole lot of misinformation.
So you are saying that if you want something level-headed and
calm.
Okay.
Correct.
What if you want something like panicky?
Should I
open one of my several WhatsApp groups that I've got going at the moment?
Yeah. Yes, you should.
But I got sucked in because I got sent a thing and then I sent it around. I was like, oh, I heard this, just heard this thing just now. And it was just immediately wrong.
It was from a Malaysian report.
I was like, hey, I literally
just got
this.
It basically said everything in Australia was being shut down as of tomorrow.
Which it sort of is, except for schools. But it wasn't. So,
no,
yeah.
It's definitely I learned a lesson there.
And that don't listen to any of my friends ever, even because you doubt them constantly. And
I just think it's that whole lesson that we teach kids that is easy to forget when you're living through something quite unprecedented like this. You just have to check on the source, don't you?
That's right.
Be really critical. Put your critical thinking hat on.
Put it on.
That's the black hat, I think. There's all these different De Bono hats.
I'm going to stop you right there. I don't need to know this shit about hats anymore. Right? I don't want you to bring that integrated studies nonsense into my life. I suffered through it enough.
All right.
I don't want any of it in my private life.
Anyway, okay. So let's not make it a hat. Let's make it a jovial
cap. I know
cap.
These tricks, Claire. Don't switch it up. I know these teaching tricks.
Let's make it a bandana.
Where you make somebody, you make them think it's something cool. You're like, okay, it's not a black hat. It's Iron Man's helmet.
Okay.
And the kid's like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And then they start the task and they're like, wait a minute. This is just a writing task. This isn't Iron Man's helmet at all. Anyway, I've got one more thing before we wrap it up.
Okay, you go for it.
Okay, do you know Kevin James?
No.
He's from The King of Queens. He's the guy in Hitch who Will Smith is like, you've
got
to get on
like
a date.
Him. Yeah.
Anyway,
like
he's done a lot.
He's like quite physical comedian.
Yeah, but he's also really like quite athletic and kind of bouncy and strong.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by like physical.
Like he's like a... You know what? He's probably not even a big guy. Like, I guess for a TV guy, he's a big guy. But, like, he's a regular-sized guy, I guess.
Yeah, but he's just quite fluid in his movements.
Anyway, like, he's done a lot of stuff that I don't like grown-ups. And people enjoy those movies and whatever. Good on him. And Pixels, which is apparently horrible. But he's just started a YouTube channel. It's Kevin James's YouTube channel. And it's just there's a number of things that happen there. One of them is a recurring segment where he's the sound guy for popular movies, for like Joker. You know, the guy that holds up the boom mic. There's one for Joker. There's one for Braveheart. There's one for The Notebook where he's holding a microphone up to Ryan Gosling or whatever. And it's done with green screen. He's kind of worked into the scene. And it's just done really well. Like, first of all, it looks flawless. It looks like he's actually there, which is a really difficult thing to do with green screen. But it's quite funny. And they're short. They're not like 10-minute skits. They're like a minute, whatever. And there's just other kind of little skits and bits and pieces that he does. Like the opening trailer for his channel where he announced that he's on top of a mountain is like, I've got a big announcement. And then he just tumbles down this like enormous snowy mountain for like 30 seconds. And it's just like, it's just goofy and fun. And it's just, I just really like it. I just think it's really just, I don't know, cute, I guess is the word.
Yeah.
It's not like complex and it's not like, oh, this really makes you think. It's just like a fun, dumb thing.
Yeah.
But in the best way. I don't want you to think that sounds – no, I'm not trying to belittle it.
No,
it's exactly what it's supposed to be in the best way.
And I just think at the moment, gosh, the more stuff like that we can kind of surround ourselves with, stay informed, but then also watch, what's his name?
Kevin James tumble down a mountain.
That's great. There's a funny mountain tumbly bit of that. Amy Poehler directed that TV show called Wine Country. So what,
is it a TV show or is it a movie?
Oh, no, it's a movie.
Yeah.
Sorry. Amy Poehler directed the movie. Sorry, Cullings. This is a whole disaster level.
Cullings loves it. Don't even worry about it. He loves editing out our mistakes and the times that I shout so loud that he has to bring down the levels.
I know. I'm sorry, mate. He's long suffering, but we think he's awesome. Yeah, anyway, yeah, and they all tumble down a mountain. It's very funny. I don't know why I brought it up, but I quite enjoy that movie. So the more kind of silly movies you can watch, I think sometimes.
Because some people are like, can you watch the movie Contagion and do a video Contagion? No, I can't do that.
No. There is a weird part of the psyche.
You watch Outbreak, the movie
Oh my God, that's all I could think about. But that's the thing, there's a weird part of your psyche that just wants to deep dive into
all
the.
I started playing The Last of Us again, which is an excellent video game, one of the best of all time. But it's basically you're like a grizzled old man, who's maybe like 45, 50.
It's your life
looks
story.
Like Hugh Jackman, yes. And he has to escort a girl through like the apocalypse of like marauders and people trying to kill him and the girl. And also there's like zombies that have got like fungus growing out. They're like fungus spores. So their heads have turned into weird mushroom monsters. And it's terrific. And I'm playing it. And I'm like, why the fuck am I playing this? I haven't played this game in like 7 years, but I'm playing it again. And by the way, it's amazing. It's an amazing game. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it is. It's a weird thing. Well, that's why I'm constantly, like, listening to information reports and, you know, watching the news and scrolling through Twitter.
I'll tell you what, if there is a weird zombie fungus apocalypse, I know how to tape a pair of scissors to a baseball bat and hit one in the head with it. It's a one-hit kill, mate. It's a little handy hint there if you're playing that game. God. Don't worry about it.
Okay, great. We don't know how to, like, light fires or run. I can't run very fast.
You need to light a fire. I'm just going to die straight up.
I'm a liability in the apocalypse.
You really are.
I am, majorly. Well, normally I'd be all on top of it, but at the moment, not so much.
Not so much.
Not so much. All right. Well, that's really it. Oh, I am reading a book. If anyone, I'm going to talk about it properly next week, but it's called Untamed by Glennon Doyle, one of my favorite people. It is so brilliant. And it's.
Why don't we save it for next week, Claire? Don't delve into next week's content.
Oh, fine.
A little bit of sizzle, Claire.
So good though.
No, this is good. It's this is good sizzle. This is what you say. You're like, this is good. I'll tell
That's
you more
it.
About it next
it's
week.
It's just like saving my brain during this post-apocalyptic time.
Is it pre-apocalypse or are we
anyway,
mid-apocalypse?
It's just been released. And if you haven't already, go and follow Glennon Doyle because she's hilarious and she's just making me feel better about the world.
Great. All right, look, if you do want to reach the show, you can. You can shoot us through an email. What's it called, Claire?
Suggestiblepod@gmail.com.
That's right. I've never looked at it, but Claire looks at it every goddamn day.
I have an email, actually.
I love emails.
From Tristan Glover.
I know Tristan Glover.
Well, there you go. Hello, Mr. Boot and Lady Skinny Knees.
Hello.
What a great intro. First of all, I'd like to say thank you for hosting such a wonderful and pleasant podcast.
Happy to do it.
One of my favorite parts of my week. I would like to suggest a book called The Ables by Jeremy Scott.
I know The Ables. I think we've had this recommended before.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Maybe on this, maybe it's on the week of fun. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah. Okay, so The Ables is about a young blind boy named Philip Salinger whose body is starting to go through changes. When summer is over, he will attend high school. But in the final days of summer break, his father takes him on a walk where Philip is expecting to get the talk. And instead of being told about the birds and the bees, he's told that he has genetically inherited the power of telekinesis.
That's telekinesis, Kyle.
He learns that the city that they live in secretly houses the heroes of the world known as custodians. And his new school, along with teaching history, math and science, also teaches kids how to control their abilities. I absolutely love this book. The themes of friendship and childhood camaraderie combined with defying expectations and working through adversity wonderfully blend into an epic and familiar tale. Thank you.
It's got some shades
Tristan,
of like your X-Men kind of.
Yeah. School of Gifted. That sounds great.
Yeah, it's by the guy who does CinemaSins, which you may or may not be familiar with.
Definitely aren't.
Mm. Well, cool. It is. I've got a review also. You can just do it straight in app. Open up your app and give it a 5-star if you want to. Super help the show.
We definitely would love
that. We love
that.
Reading them. And we love even more than we love reading them. We love reading them out, don't we?
Correct.
So this is from ApplePhan316. The title is Great Podcast with a Lot of Charm and Curry. Charisme.
And curry.
No, charisme.
Charisma.
No, I don't think so. Great podcast with a lot of charm and charisme.
I mean, you wouldn't know
because you don't have any. I wish there were more episodes in a week. Even if there weren't many or any suggestibles in it. So, that really helps. And also, what also helps, if you could recommend to a friend or any, you know, just be like, hey, give this a listen if you want.
Oh, yeah.
That's what made our Weekly Planet audience the strength, the strong and lovable crew that it is.
Because people recommend it to their friends.
Helps in a big way.
Well, I actually also think
that's why this podcast is so much smaller than the Weekly Planet, because the huge fan base that has amassed over the years.
I know, it's so bloody popular.
I reckon if it was still going for 7 years like this one, it still wouldn't be as popular.
Hey!
Because it's a bit of a phenomenon, that other one. It's a bit of a pop culture touchstone.
Please recommend to a friend so I can eventually show James that this podcast will be somewhat
and then
more
begrudgingly
popular
stuck
than he
thinks
it will.
This podcast. I'm like, oh, I hate this podcast.
I'm stuck here with this woman. Yeah, exactly. Actually, on that, we've had lots of people say they listen with their partners. So if you have an old GF or a wife or a partner or a husband or a whatever, boyfriend.
You've got a very learned dog. That's fine
too. A good mate, some housemates. Chuck it on. Mm. Chuck it on.
Split a headphone if you're on the way to school you're on the back of the bus, you split a headphone. Is that a thing people still do these days?
I think it might be. Because we don't really listen to much of the same stuff.
No.
Me and you. We got different tastes. You are into reality television shows about people trying to find the love of their lives.
How dare you.
I am on to gripping political dramas and interesting and books that really talk about the human condition. And, you know, we're both into different things.
We're a real piece of work. I mean, we're not in the no judgment segment anymore, so I'm going to let that slide.
Correct. Okay. Right, you know that I judged you through the whole no judgment section.
Yeah, but it's not about that. It's like when you meet somebody and you're like, this guy sucks, but you don't say it.
That is your go-to. That is your default setting.
Yeah. I think if you start
I am default. Everyone's great.
No, if you start from there, then you kind of like, oh, this pleasantly surprised, this guy's all right in there. No, that's not my default
setting.
Whereas
I'm constantly disappointed.
Yeah, but my point is when you meet someone and you're like, this guy sucks, you don't say to him, hey, no good. What's this interaction isn't good. I don't like you. They're probably thinking the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that's the show.
That's the show. So, yeah, if you've got a partner, maybe you listen to this with them.
Yeah.
Especially if you're both trapped inside your house.
That's right.
You can get some tips for how to bloody stick it
while
to the man.
While you're working on that corona baby boom that's going to hit in 9 months.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. That is not happening in our house.
Well, no. Because
I'm about to have a baby in a month. What a world.
What a world.
What a world to bring a baby into.
Fantastic. Just keep it alight. I mean, I'm trying to adopt like the Tom Cruise mindset where everything's fantastic and you ask him a question.
I've noticed.
And he's just... It's a process or whatever he talks about.
Seriously, James is just walking around the house doing that constantly to himself. I heard him do it. I wasn't even in the room.
Makes me feel better.
You do it all the time. You're like, fantastic. He's just like doing that all the time, which really worries me because you never do that. You mainly just swear.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, boy. Right. Okay, stay safe.
We might do a bonus
Stay
thing
home.
Well
with, stay cool. Wash your hands.
We might do a bonus thing at some point with Nick Mason. Probably not this week, but at some point.
We haven't actually spoken to him about that.
So if someone could alert him on social media that we plan to do that, that'd be great.
We're always surprising him with things.
Yeah.
Hey, Mason, he's a tiny little version of you.
Of what?
He's a Lego.
Sometimes
we do just give him tiny little versions of himself.
That's true. People send him over.
See you next week. We've been Stressful Pod. Yeah. Bye. Please follow us at Suggestible Pod.
Not around, obviously.
No, just on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook.
But only to a certain extent.
And thank you to Rawlings for editing this episode.
Oh, my God. One of the best, if not the best.
Okay, I'm turning you off. So long.
If anyone gets coronavirus, I hope it's you over him. Holy shit. We need him. I'm sorry, Claire.
Well, there won't be any we, will there? Because I'll be down and out. God, this is the kind of caliber of person I'm living with. Well, I hope you live with someone funner.
Yeah, and with more.
Everything's fantastic.
You've got a lot of charisma. I'll see you later, everyone.
I hate him.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.